church family and dear friends, what happens when everything in life suddenly, in a very, very short space of time, goes wrong? What happens really when, in a very short space of time, you lose everything that you've ever labored for, that you've ever worked for in your life, very, very quickly? It just disappears. You lose everything that you've ever gained in this life. And well, we see in today's passage of Holy Scripture such an account with the man Job. He didn't lose everything, but he practically lost everything from a worldly perspective. And the Word of God here teaches us, really, by Job's response, what are we living for in our lives? What are we truly living for in our lives? Of course, the book of Job is one of the oldest books in the whole Bible. Many commentators agree that the book of Job, and Job himself, dates back to the patriarchs, to Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. Job came from the land of Uz, and we know that's where Abraham was taken from. And so God did not leave himself without a witness in that particular land. And so the book of Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible, yet it's still revealing God's truth, eternal truth to us nowadays, which we would do well to consider this Lord's Day morning. It is said of Job in verse 1, that he was a perfect and an upright man, in verse 1. This doesn't mean that he was a sinless man. Job had sin, just like you and I have sin. What this means is that in the sight of God, he was a perfect man because he eschewed evil. That is, he avoided evil and he sought that which was good. He fled from his sin, and he fled to the Word of God, and he trusted in the Word of God, and in particular his Redeemer, his Savior, the Lord. Is that what we do, friends? Do we flee from our sin, and do we seek God's blessing? Do we seek the Lord? Because that's what Job did, and God saw him as perfect in his sight. Upright, he was sincere about leaving his sin. He was absolutely sincere about leaving sin and fleeing to God for refuge. It was also said of Job that he had much substance. He was the greatest man in the East, in the Middle East, as it were. He had much substance, didn't he? He had 7,000 sheep. And whenever we hear the word seven in the Bible, we need to think, well, this is a picture of completeness, isn't it? God has mightily prospered this man, not only physically, but spiritually. He had 7,000 sheep. Imagine how great a land that you must have for 7,000 sheep. He had thousands of camels, thousands of livestock, thousands of donkeys to transport all these goods and food. He had a large family, he had seven, again, that number, seven sons, and three daughters. And so it's fair to say that the Lord mightily prospered him and protected him and hedged him in, as it were. We are also told in verse 5 that all this wealth and all this prosperity from a worldly perspective did not get to Job's head. Although he had so much from an earthly perspective, he had a great house, he had much substance, he had much wealth, the money and what he had did not make him greedy and selfish. He woke up every morning early. He arose every morning and he spent quiet time with the Lord God. He started the day with the Lord. He committed the day to the Lord. I wonder if that's how we start every day feeding our souls, the greater part of who we are, before we feed our bodies. That's what Job did. That's what meant the most to him, is his relationship with God, to start off with God, to feed his soul before he feeds his body. And so every day he woke up early and he committed the day to the Lord. And we see that he interceded, as it were, he prayed for his children. Of course, his children, we see in Scripture here that they were more than likely believers. They willingly came to be sanctified. The older children invited their sisters, their three sisters, to come and feast with them. But Job was concerned for his children that during their youthful years, and in particular this time of feasting, that they perhaps would forget about God in their feasting. And so Job offered and cursed God in their hearts, really, in forgetting about God. And so Job offered a sacrifice for them. And we see the man here, Job, that he was a man that had a true relationship with God. He was not only a godly father and husband, but he also shows us a picture that he was a priest, as it were. He was a picture here of interceding for others, for praying for other people. Do we do that? Do we wake up early? Do we commit the day to the Lord? Do we care about our souls? Do we have a relationship with the Lord? Do we pray for other people? Well, this is what true Christians do, don't they? And this is what the man Job did. Despite his great wealth, it did not make him greedy. Now, we know that there was a day, a very tragic day, where the enemy of God, Satan, presented himself with the sons of God. Now, I'm not going to go into what form that took place. That's not profitable for us. But he came with the sons of God. And, of course, he had no business being there, did he? Because he had no intention of worshipping God. His intention was to make mischief, as it were. His intention was set upon Job, to bring Job down, as it were, to make Job curse God. And that, of course, is the devil's intention for everyone, to make us live in unbelief, to make us curse God, as it were. And so he came with the sole purpose of tormenting Job and curse, wanting to get Job to curse God. And you know, what he meant for evil, God meant for good, didn't he? And God, in his divine providence, gave or allowed the devil to have permission to torment Job for a certain amount of time. You see, the devil cannot do anything unless God gives him permission. The devil is on chains, as it were, and only the Lord can loosen those chains temporarily. Now, friends, let us pause for a minute here today and think about the two reasons why we see trouble in the world. Why Job saw trouble suddenly come upon them. There's two main reasons. The first reason, unlike what happened to Job here, the reason why we see so much trouble in the world is because of our sin. It's our sin that separates us from a holy God. Our sinful hearts by nature, our sinful minds by nature, our sinful words, our actions by nature, they separate us from God. That is the cause of all our troubles down here below. That's why we see broken relationships. That's why we see lying. That's why we see murder. That's why we see broken families. That's why we see wars. That's why we see violence. It's all because of sin. Sin is the cause of all our troubles down here below. And so that is the reason why, one of the reasons why we have trouble down here below. But also, there is a higher purpose sometimes to why things befall us. The second reason, and this is in the case of Job, and also in other men like Joseph and many others throughout the scriptures who weren't guilty of gross sin. There are sometimes things happen to us, troubles come to us, because God has a higher purpose in them. There's a higher secret purpose to which we don't know. Only God knows. And even in those times, we are told to trust in God and to trust in His sovereignty in our lives. Now, in verse 9, Satan posed a question to God. He said, didn't he? He asked a question to God. He said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Doth Job fear God for naught?" In other words, he was insinuating. He was saying, "Doth Job really, does he love you?" And so Satan is asking this question, as it were, to the Lord God. Does Job really love you for who you are? Or is it because of all the wealth and all the substance and everything that you've given him? Does he love you for those things? In other words. And that poses a question to us. Do we seek the Lord God for reasons which are more about ourselves than about God? More about money or more about this world's good rather than the real reasons why we are to seek God? Because He is the fount of every blessing. Because He is the source of all goodness in the universe. He is the great benefactor behind all that we have. And so Satan poses this question, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" What's Job really trusting in? Does Job truly value his relationship with you? Or is he valuing it simply out of the things that you give him, as it were? And so, for our benefit, really, and for countless benefits of millions of people throughout the ages, the Lord gives permission for Job to be afflicted by Satan, the devil, to reveal what Job was truly trusting in. And I hope and pray that we will think really in our hearts, why am I trusting, if I do trust in God, why do I trust in God? If I am seeking God, why am I seeking God? Because much of Christianity nowadays is a very false, shallow, base Christianity. It seeks God for the wrong reasons. And we see that with the prosperity gospel, don't we? And so we know what happened next, don't we? Job lost everything. Everything that he had ever labored for. Everything that he had ever gained from an earthly perspective. He lost it all in one tragic day. And we can read about that in verses 13 through 19. And what do you think your reaction would be? What would my reaction would be if you lost everything in one day? Loved ones, your livelihood, everything that you've ever gained. If you've lost it all in one day, everything, your loved ones, you spent all that time with, those precious moments, everything, you lose it all in such a short space of time. What would your reaction be? Well, Job's response and reaction tells us many things about the man Job. It says in, Job said in verse 20 and 21, he fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He fell down upon the ground and he worshipped God, didn't he? He lost everything. And his reaction wasn't to go off on a drink binge, as it were, and say, that's it. I'm casting God off of my life. I've lost everything. I'm now going to do what I want in life. No, not Job. What did he do? He fell upon the ground and he worshipped God. He said in verse 21, didn't he? "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job, in other words, is saying, I came into this world with absolutely nothing. I came in as a baby with nothing. It's kicking and screaming. I didn't have any wife, children, loved ones. I didn't have cattle. I had nothing. I brought nothing into this world. That's how I started off. I started off with absolutely nothing. And that's the way I'm going to go. I'm going to leave this world with nothing. I can't bring my children with me. I can't bring all this substance, all this wealth with me. I can't bring any of it with me. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. That's the way I'm going to go. I'm going to be ushered into eternity before my Maker, and everything that I have in this life, my prosperity, my job, my work, all these things, they're just going to pale into insignificance. They're not going to mean anything. Nothing. What people think of me, my reputation, it doesn't matter. They're not going to mean absolutely nothing. That's what he's saying. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. It is the Lord. It is the Lord God that has given me my life and my soul and sustains my every breath. He is the one that's given me my family, my children. And if it pleases him to take them away, and to take away some of these things in my life, well, that's up to him. That's his choice to do. He is the one that's given it to me. He's the one that's blessed me, because when I was born, I had nothing. But he has given me children. He's given me all these things. He has showered upon blessing, every day since the day I was born. My allegiance is to my God. God is first in my life. He means the most to me. These things don't mean as much to me as God. He has given me everything, and I've enjoyed them. He is my love. He means the most to me because I love the giver rather than the gift. I love the Creator more than the created. I love him for who he is. And so we see here what Job was trusting in. God is the great benefactor. He is the source of all goodness in the universe. He is the spring, the fountain of every blessing. Unlike me, I am just so full of sin. I'm so vile. I just corrupt things. But God is so full of grace and truth and love and mercy. And he has shown it to me. He has revealed his Son to me. You see, that's why Job can say, can't he? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, here is a man that's lost everything in one day. Lost it all. And he can still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Not blessed be my name. I fall way, way short. But blessed be God's name. He is blessed forever. He is the one that only does good. He is the one that gives life, that sustains life. His name will always be blessed. It doesn't matter what happens to me. God's name will always be blessed. Blessed be his name. Friends, we can learn many things, can't we, through Job's response here. You see, the devil designs to make us curse God. That is his aim. The devil wants, what he means for evil in our lives, God will intend for good. He wants us to live in unbelief through the things that happen in our lives. You know, Job lost absolutely everything. Yet he still blessed God in his affliction. And what we must understand, that God is sovereign. God is in control over all things. Nothing is allowed to happen. Not a hair to fall on the floor. Not a bird to fall from the tree without God knowing about it. He is sovereign. And so if he gives us things, and then he takes away those things, let us examine, why has this happened? Is it because first, is there sin in my life? Is there some sort of rebellion in my heart, in my mind, from God? Perhaps even if I'm a Christian, am I allowing sins to go unrepented of? Vanities to go unrepented of? We must examine our hearts, our minds. Because God is sovereign. Everything happens for a reason. There's no such thing as luck. Job understood this. Now, Job didn't understand. He wasn't guilty of any gross sins. But he understood that he was a sinner. And so we see this profound contrast here, don't we? You see, Satan wants us to think of bad thoughts of who God is. He wants us to live in unbelief, to think God is some dictator God, some overruling, horrible God. Satan wants us to have this bad picture and thought of God. Not the God of love and mercy and of grace and of goodness, who provides a savior for us to die for our sins. Satan wants us to have bad thoughts of God so that we can rebel from him and live in unbelief and give up and live in our sin. He wants us to curse God like he did with Job, doesn't he, friends? Yet the word of God through Job shows us another way. It shows us a more perfect way, a holy way, a heavenly way. Job loved God for who he was and who he is. Job loved God because he is God, because he is good, and he only doeth good. He did not love God for what he could get from him. So many people, so many professing Christians love God for what they can get from God. And that's why we see the prosperity gospel, don't we? But Job shows us that we must have a light hand upon the things of this world. We must love the Creator more than the created. We must have a light hand on the things of this world because they're all going to go, aren't they? Only God and his word is going to abide forever. He loved his creator, his maker, more than the creation. He loved the giver more than the gift. It teaches us that we must love God the most in our life. Well, what about you? And what about me? Who do you love the most in your life? Because it is possible, you see, to come to God in a wrong way. To put things before God. That goes back to the first commandment, doesn't it? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To put no other things before God. No other created thing. Wife, children, career, money, substance, anything upon earth. If you elevate that and you put it before God, that's your God. We must love God the most. Job teaches us this. The Word of God teaches us that God must be first in our life. If he's not first in our hearts, he's not second or third, he's last. He must be first. He must have pole position. God will not compete with his creation. He will not do that. We must love him more than anything. You see, friends, to not love God the most is treason with God. It's rebellion. Because God has given us our loved ones. He has given us everything. He's given us our lives. And so to not love God is perfectly reasonable. It's rebellion from God. It's biting the hand that feeds us and elevating the golden cow above God. It's treason, it's rebellion, it's thieving, it's robbing God of his glory. If we spent years building a house and building and many things to live in, and we let it out to someone, and that person trashed the house, did not pay the rent, and we said, okay, I'm taking that away from you now. I've given you that house out of the goodness of my heart. And it's in the terms or the conditions that if you do fall into trouble, you can call upon me. It's in the contract. And I will refurbish the house. I will help you. I will bless you. But how many people? How many people just trash their body, the house, as it were? They don't call upon the Lord. They bite the hand that feeds them. How many people do that nowadays? Dear friends, it is a sad fact, isn't it, that many seek God for the wrong reasons. It is called the prosperity gospel. And the Lord will prove with fire often, like he did with Job, and like he did with Abraham and Joseph. Remember, Joseph was thrown into a pit. He was sold as a slave, and he endured years of affliction and trouble, not because of any gross sin, but because there's a higher purpose. And what did he say? Was he embittered with God? Did he say, oh, that's enough, I've had enough now, I'm not going to follow after God, I'm not going to seek God? No, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Of course, God used that experience to save many souls, didn't he? Even his brethren. Dear friends, we shouldn't listen to the lies of the devil. We must believe that he is sovereign, that he is good, and that he has provided a way for us to be good as well. God's word teaches us that we cannot love him and mammon, because either the one will take us away from the other. We cannot love God and the love of money and the love of the things of this world. We cannot do it, because the one will either take the other from the other. We must be wholly dedicated and consecrated to God. And Job shows us, doesn't he? Through, despite Satan's attempts, Job shows us that the Lord meant more to him than anything in the earth. And so that poses a question. Does the Lord God and his salvation and his word mean everything to you? Is it for you to live Christ and to die again? Well, it was true of Job. Is your life all about Christ? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about what God says. About holding to him. Is that true of us? It was true of Job. You see, he had a light hand upon those things. God meant everything. It didn't mean that he did not grieve. It did not mean that he wasn't upset over loved ones. Of course, there's natural grieving. But if he was to be cast away from the presence of God, well, that would mean a lot more to him than losing. If he was to lose God, his Lord, his Savior, or his Redeemer, that would mean far more than to lose his family and all that he had. Is that true of us? Do we love God for who he is? Do we have a true relationship with our Maker? Is he first in our lives? Now, Job lost everything, didn't he, in one tragic day. And in fact, not long after that, he also lost his health, didn't he? The devil God allowed Satan to further put his hand upon Job and covered him with boils and sores. And Job was there sitting in ashes, poor old Job, picking the boils with a pot. And so he lost his health, covered with boils, lost his family, lost his livelihood. And then his wife says to him, curse God. Curse him. How long will you keep your integrity for? Curse God. That's it. You lost everything. Now, of course, this was, we can understand from an earthly perspective, that she must have been completely grieved. She lost all her children. And Job says, you're talking like worldly woman. You're talking like ungodly woman. You're not thinking straight spiritually. And we also know, don't we, that his comforters, his friends came along. And what did they do? They were lousy comforters, weren't they? All they wanted to do was accuse him of some gross sin which he was not guilty of. He was having a bad day. If you ever feel like you're having a bad day, someone's had a worse day. What happens, dear friends, when we have bad days? We all have bad days. I've had a few bad days this week, I'll tell you. It's been a hectic, busy week. What happens when we lose it all in life, dear friends? Well, we can learn a lot, can't we? Through the God of Job, the God of the Bible. And dear friends, we must understand that, yes, Job lost it all in one tragic day, but we're going to lose it all. Everyone here, sat here, we're going to lose everything, aren't we? It's just a matter of time. And I know we don't like to think of death, especially with our loved ones, but we're going to lose everything, aren't we? Job lost it in one day, and we're going to lose it. We're not God of our own lives. We're not in charge. We think we're in charge. We try to, as it were, build these false securities in our life. Job knew that those things could not save him. He knew that the estate, the children, all those things, he knew that he wasn't putting his confidence in those things. He knew that they were just temporary. What happens when you lose it all, friends? Because that's what's going to happen to every one of us. Job knew the most important thing for him and his children and his family was their souls. That their soul was right with God. That they had security for their souls. And I believe all Job's children are in heaven with him. I do, I believe that. I believe they were all believers. And of course, the Lord is no man's debtor, is he? He gave double of everything Job had. And think about that as well. Even his wife, he would have had double children, double everything God gave him. The Lord is no man's debtor. If he takes away from you in your life, remember, it's for a reason. There's a higher purpose. You may not be committing a gross sin. We all have sin. But think about it. Why is these things happening in my life? Well, it's to show me that I need a relationship with God. I need to make sure my soul is secure, that I have a true relationship, that God is first in my life, that I'm trusting in Him, that He is my all in all, that I cannot put my trust in the temporary, I cannot put my trust in things that are going to perish, because I came into this world with nothing, and I'm going to leave with nothing. I cannot put my hope in my job, in my servants, in my employees, in my money, in all these securities. I cannot put my hope in these things because they're going to go. They're going to make wings and they're going to fly away from me. That's the way I'm going to go. I cannot put my confidence and my trust in them. What really matters then, friends, is if we have a real abiding relationship with our Maker, with our God. But how? How can I and how can you have a relationship with God? How can we who are so full of sin, who have been so corrupted, how can that which is crooked be made straight? How can we who by nature are unholy? We know that we're sinners, don't we? We know that we fall short. We know there's a great gulf between us and God because of our sin. It separates us from God. It bars us from heaven. Because God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. No sin. He cannot look upon sin. He is holy and just. And so He will never allow one sin into heaven, not one lie, not one lust, not one covetous thought over money or houses or one proud thought. None of those things. Barred forever. Jailed, as it were. They cannot enter into a perfect, holy heaven. How can me and you, how can we have a relationship with God in this condition? Well, God, like with Job, provided a redeemer. A redeemer. That is someone to redeem us from our sins. A perfect and righteous man. The God-man, Jesus Christ, who came from the glorious courts of heaven to come down to be born in a manger, to live that perfect life that you and I can never live, righteously, always speaking good, always doing good, never lying, never coveting, always fulfilling the law of God, to pay, to redeem us of our sins, because we're in debt, every one of us. We have a great debt because of our sins. Jesus came to pay that debt, the full cost of a debt, to be punished as a perfect sacrifice, a perfect offering to God, to pay our debt of sin, and was punished, and then rose gloriously over sin and death to make a way for us to be righteous. God doesn't look upon you anymore in your sin if you trust in Jesus, the righteous. He doesn't see the great debt of your sin. He doesn't say, no, that person is a sinner. That person is still in their debt. No, he doesn't do that. He looks upon the righteousness of Jesus. He sees that you're trusting in the name, the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you truly repent of your sin, if I truly repent of my sin, if we truly repent of our sin, and like Job, trust in his Redeemer, and that's what Job did. Everyone pointing the finger at all his friends saying, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. And what did Job say later on in Job? I know that my Redeemer liveth. He lives. He has died for my sins. I have peace with God. Yes, I've lost it all. Even my friends are mistreating me. But God hasn't left me. God has never left me. Do you know the love of God, friends? The love of God, the peace of God, it's better than anything, isn't it? And once you've tasted that, like Job has, then you'll never ever go back. You can never go back, dear friends. And of course, there will be troubles in your life, like there has with Job. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to have troubles, but it means that in your troubles, God will be right there with you, helping you, giving you grace and mercy, helping you to overcome, because he has overcome. And so this day, salvation is offered to you full and free, which you can come through Jesus Christ. You can come by from Christ without money, without price, and know that Jesus will save you from all your sins. All that is required of you is to repent of your sin, to truly mean it, to do like Job did and turn from sin, eschew evil to avoid it, and to trust solely upon Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He will save you, and he will guide you, he will hedge you about and bless you. He promises so. If you trust in his word, don't listen to the lies of the devil. Trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon his blessed name, and he shall save you. Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah.